Hey fellas, thank you for checking out this Fail Club podcast in its audio format. Whether you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or you're listening to it on Spotify, one of the things that I really do think will be able to edify your listening experience is if you go down into the description of the show and you check out the listening guide that we have right there. It's a really, really helpful tool so that you can walk through this, take notes, let the Holy Spirit begin to solidify some things and to give you action steps to be able to process this through so it's not just something that gets in your head, but it's something that gets out into your hands, your feet, your heart, and shows up in your everyday life. What's up, guys, and welcome into another installment of Fail Club. We've been learning that failure isn't final, and it can actually be this fuel that God uses to grow our faith. Today, we're going to be looking at this Bible character, Aaron. We're going to be learning from a mistake that he made in his life that cost him and a lot of other people dearly. First of all, let's kind of get an introduction on who is Aaron. Aaron was not, guys, a spiritual rookie. He was Moses' brother, and he was also Moses' spokesman. Let me just kind of rattle off some of the things that he did. He spoke before Pharaoh. He watched the Nile River turn to blood. He saw all the other plagues. He saw the Red Sea split. He audibly heard the voice of God on Mount Sinai, and he was appointed high priest. So this guy, Aaron, he carries authority. He had seen the glory of God, but yet we still have this story in Exodus chapter 32. That's where we're going to be today, where he absolutely caves, completely caves in. And the reason he caves in is not because a lack of information. It's not because a lack of connection to God. It's not because he lacked some sort of position. It's going to be because he lacked courage. He lacked the courage it was going to take to be more concerned with fearing God and God's approval than fearing other people and their approval of him. So that's the issue really today we're going to be leaning in, is people pleasing. So we need to make sure we have a good working definition for people pleasing. Now that we understand who this Aaron guy is, and we're going to read the scripture that shows how he failed to this mistake of people pleasing, let's first talk about what people pleasing is not. All right. So what it is not, it's not being kind. It's not showing empathy. And people pleasing is not just being someone who generally has a good idea of what it means to show discretion. So we would biblically define people pleasing as this. It is just simply prioritizing the approval of man over the approval of God. It's longing for the approval of man more than you long for the approval of God. A couple of verses I think kind of helps us get an idea of what we're talking about here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says this, "The fear of man lays a snare," like a trap that is going to catch you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he's trying to kind of give a defense for his ministry, but also explain the heartbeat behind it and his motives. He says this, "If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." And here in this verse, it's as if Paul is saying that these two are like completely opposed to each other. Like, I can't serve Christ and at the same time being trying to serve and be a people pleaser to men. All right. So in our story, what we're going to see is this guy, Aaron, again, Moses' brother, a guy who is the high priest. We see him prioritize approval over obedience, and it costs him and it costs the nation dearly. There's a few really, really solid lessons that we're going to lean in here. The first one is this. Passive leadership creates spiritual chaos. That's spiritual chaos for ourselves, and that's spiritual chaos, obviously, for other people. All right, so if you got a Bible, let's kind of walk through and lean into the story. Exodus chapter 32 is where this can be found. Passive leadership creates spiritual chaos. Listen to the chaos ensue here in chapter 32 of the book of Exodus. "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain," so Moses had gone up, he had already been on the mountain 40 days on Mount Sinai, speaking and being with God, God's giving him commandments, God giving him the law. When they saw that Moses was delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this, Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't even know what's become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wife and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And they received the gold from their hand and fashioned it and with a graveling tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out up of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. Then Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I mean, just a lot going on there. And what is basically like absolute chaos is ensuing as Moses is going up to be with God to get the rule and command of God. All the people just go, hey, you know, this is what we want to do. And they go to Aaron and a lot of things ensue. But what I want you to see here is this passive leadership of Aaron. We're specifically leaning into that. I want you first to notice here what Aaron does not say. All right. People come to him with this idea, like, hey, let's make a golden idols. Let's give something. Let's attribute what God is doing to something other than this God who has clearly been on our side, the God who sent the plagues, the God who allowed the death angel to pass over us, the God who parted the Red Sea. They're going, hey, that's clearly not him. Let's figure out something else. Here's what Aaron doesn't say. He doesn't say, no, we are not going to do that. That is not the one true God. And he knows this, but he doesn't say no. He doesn't say, hey, guys, just wait. Okay, that would have been a little less passive, a little less direct, but he doesn't even say, hey, wait, just chill out. Moses is going to get down here eventually. He doesn't say, hey, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to trust the Lord. We know he's the one true God. We're not going to make other gods in light of him. And he doesn't say, and this is what he should have said, this is a sin. This is idolatry, guys. We cannot do this. What he does is he simply moves with the crowd. I want you to understand, guys, here is this silence, this lack of calling things what they are. This silence is not neutrality. This silence is actually him surrendering to their whims, their way, and their emotion. Amen. Here's what needs you to understand. When godly leadership goes passive, those who are far from God get to be the people who set the direction and have the most influence over what the decisions the people are going to have made for them. So when godly men, when we refuse to lead, someone else will. And it's usually whoever has the strongest emotions, whoever has the strongest opinion, and whoever has the strongest kind of convictions that they can lay out. But it's not necessarily people who have the convictions that line up with God. And that's the issue. So for us as a man, here's what we got to know. Our call is to set the spiritual tone. And what we have to understand is if you do not set the spiritual tone, someone else will. And most of the time, these people who we allow set the spiritual tone, they don't necessarily drift towards a holiness. They don't drift towards what we would long to see and would glorify God the most. So think about it like this in your home. If you don't lead spiritually in your home, whatever your kids get from their screen or their school will be what leads them. In your workplace, if you don't speak the truth, then the loudest voice with the slickest argument is going to redefine what truth even is. In the church, if us as leaders within the church, we avoid hard truth, error is going to go unchecked. So as men, you got to understand this. Like, we've been called to provide and protect. But please, please, guys, get this. You cannot be passive and protective at the same time. So when we choose to be passive, oftentimes kind of like what it's like you handing someone a permission slip and you're giving it to someone who is dangerously unqualified. And then once they get that permission slip, because we've been too passive, chaos usually comes. And it comes because we give people permission and we give people authority that they haven't earned and that they don't deserve. And when they get this, they don't manage it well and people get wounded. There's a line that it may sound cheesy because it rhymes, but the truth of the matter is this, guys. If you don't lead, someone is going to bleed. And that's exactly what we see happen in our story. If you got your Bible open, you can go read this, but it's verse 30 or chapter 32 in Exodus. It's kind of continuing the story. It's verse 25 through 28. So this is what happens when Moses kind of comes back down and he encounters all of this stuff that's going on as these people are making this new idol and they're offering burnt offerings to this idol and they're dancing and partying and having a celebration around this new idol that they've set up. God is up there on the mountain with Moses and God essentially just says, hey, Moses, you need to go down there and take care of things. Verse 25, we see how it goes. It says, and when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, that's sad, but great way to say that. The people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose, key word there, to the derision of their enemies. Verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And then he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from the gate throughout the camp. And each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day, listen here, 3,000 people, 3,000 men of the people fell. Now, this is a part of the story that oftentimes gets left out when people talk about this whole golden calf thing and everything else. But I want you to hear this, guys, because even after this, it's not just like, hey, there's 3,000 people die, because Moses goes, hey, like, all right, you guys want to go this way and that way? Let's do this. Whose side are you on? And they get some people that kind of go, hey, Moses, we're with you. We know we made a mistake, but we're with you. And then Moses goes like, all right, we're going to go kill everybody else who's not with us. And this is traumatic. This is awful. And again, 3,000 people die. And again, this begins with people pleasing. This begins with Aaron going, yeah, sure, you know, we can make this thing. This begins with a guy who is the priest, supposed to represent God to the people and the people to God, abdicating his authority, giving them permission to guide what the nation was supposed to be guided by instead of let it being his heart that was connected to the heart of God. So it was wild. Even if you go to verse 35, even after all these people die, God still sends a plague on the people who are alive and sinned. And again, the point I'm trying to make here is if you don't lead, someone's going to bleed. It may be a physical wound. It may be an emotional wound. It may be a relational wound. But if we don't lead the way God has called us to lead, if we won't do it, someone is going to get wounded. Second thing that we learn from this story is that when it comes to people-pleasing is going to feel practical before it feels sinful. And this is kind of how you know you're in here. It's going to kind of sound like justification. It's going to kind of sound like you making excuses. If you look at our story, you can see this happen. Look at the progression. So you have Aaron, and first he collects the gold, and then he fashions the craft, and then he builds an altar, and then he declares a feast. And this is kind of odd part in the story. He declares a feast to the Lord. And what's happening here is Aaron is blending idolatry with worship language. And I want us to not miss this, guys, because sometimes we can do the same thing. He tries to make rebellion feel religious. And that's some of what's happening here. So when this is happening, and this is, you know, we see this happen here for Aaron. This happens for us as well, guys, though. This is this time when you start to, like, give way to things and let things slide and either keep your mouth closed or say something a little easy to try to keep the peace because you want to please people. What's happening here is that inward voice of your inward coward is whispering, hey, if you just do these things, this will calm everybody down. Or, hey, this really isn't that big a deal. Pick your battles. Or that inner voice of the inner coward says, hey, you're just being reasonable. It's not worth upsetting the apple cart. But notice, guys, pay attention to this. This people-pleasing and this rebellion, it never comes out and it announces itself as outright betrayal and sin. Oftentimes what it does is it kind of comes in and it's dressed as like this wisdom. It almost is trying to like perceive itself as being somewhat logical, like this is the right choice to make. This makes sense. But this goes in our lives, you know, it kind of works out like this, and maybe you can relate to this. I know I can as far as my own life. This happens when you laugh at that crude joke, but you laugh at that crude joke just because, like, you know it's wrong, but you just don't want to seem like you're just some uptight kind of meal house, you know? Or you need to explain or express something to somebody, but you kind of soften the truth so that they can make it more palatable, but you know, even as you're saying it, the point you're really trying to get across is not, because you softened it. This is what happens when you avoid conflict, whether it's church or home and other places, just because we don't want to seem difficult. And before you know it, what happens in our lives when we start doing these things, before you know it, you're just setting up golden calves. You're melting down these things and you're bowing down on altars. So, you know, to kind of summarize that point, what I'm saying here is people pleasing, it doesn't necessarily begin in rebellion. It begins in comfort. And guys, like we said, from week one, as we've entered into this Fail Club thing, when men of God prioritize their comfort over the calling that God has placed on their life, it is always going to set them up for failure. Next thing that we learn as we look at Aaron's story and see him make this failure of being a people pleaser is that fear produces excuses, not integrity. So I want to go back kind of a little bit in the story and let's look at what happens when Moses confronts Aaron. So I really want you to pay attention to what Aaron says here. It almost makes you angry as you see this whole story go down. So Exodus chapter 32, verses 15 through 24 is what we'll read here. says, then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. That's what he just got from God. Tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back, they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it's not the sound of shouting of victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear. Yeah, because there's a party going down here. And as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger burned hot, and that is putting it nicely. And he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf that they had made and he burned it with the fire and the ground and burned it into this powder and scattered it on the water and made the people drink it. Okay, so to put things nicely, Moses is furious. All right, then Moses says to Aaron, this is where you get this back and forth. I want you to really pay attention to what Aaron says here. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord, capital or lowercase L there, he's talking specifically the anger of my Lord as in Moses, burn hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. So I said to them, let any of you have gold, take it off. And so they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. It sounds like your kids when you catch them in trouble and they're trying to explain some stuff, and they're like, I don't know how it happened. It just happened. A calf just popped out. And you can just hear this inward coward coming out, this inward people pleaser coming out here in Aaron. Did you hear what he said specifically? He says, you know these people. And that's just, guys, that's just classic blame shifting. This is what we do when we get caught too. Classic blame shifting. And then he says, I threw it in the fire and it just came out. What he's doing there is he's trying to minimize, like it just happened. And he's trying to distance himself and the responsibility that he should be taking for this. And guys, here's what's happening. And this happens for us too when we cave in to people pleasing and the pressure that comes with it. Fear makes grown men irrational. It makes leaders dishonest. Remember what we talked about in Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man lays a snare. See, guys, what happens for our lives is people-pleasing is going to do the same thing for us that it eventually did for Aaron. People-pleasing turns us into really good excuse makers. And I love this quote from Ben Franklin. Here's how it goes. He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Put that in your pipe. That's really good. And I get conviction when I hear that because honestly, like there are times when I feel like I'm pretty good at making excuses or making an explanation or whatever you want to call it. And the truth of this matter here is this fear around, it leads to us making excuses. And men of God aren't supposed to be these men who walk around just leveraging excuses or looking to point fingers or looking to blame shift. We got to take that responsibility. Fourth thing that we're going to learn from the story and Aaron's people pleasing is that proximity to God is not the same thing as courage. Proximity to God is not the same thing as courage. So what we see here is Aaron had the calling of a high priest. He had the clothing of a high priest. He had the position of a high priest. And he had the theology of a high priest. But here's what he lacked. He lacked a backbone, which tells us, guys, you can attend church weekly, you can lead ministry, you can know doctrine, and you can teach scripture and still collapse when the room gets tense. Here's why. Courage, guys, courage is not automatic. Courage has to be something that is actually cultivated in our life. And it is cultivated, courage is cultivated when we fear God more than we fear other people. I love what Proverbs 9:10 says. It says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. And I would dare to venture that like the fear of the Lord is not just the beginning of wisdom, but it's actually the beginning of courage as well. Because when I have wisdom to understand whose voice and whose opinion and whose approval really matters most, then I have the courage to make the hard decisions that I need to. And again, the beginning of both wisdom and I believe courage comes from fearing God more than we fear man. Now, what I want to try to do, kind of as we try to land this plane here, like we've done in all of our sessions, let's try to compare and contrast Aaron as we look at Jesus. All right, now what we're going to see here is Jesus truly is the true and greater Aaron. And one of the comparisons that stands out the most as we look at these two guys, where Aaron feared the crowd, Jesus confronted it. I love this about Jesus. You get this guy in Aaron, like he's afraid of the crowd. He won't confront the crowd. He won't tell the crowd they're sinful and they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. And again, as the priest, the one who's supposed to represent the people to God and God to the people, Jesus shows up and he truly is the great high priest, the fulfillment of the priestly role. And in John 6, when the crowd leaves Jesus, we don't see anything about Jesus chasing them down. In Matthew 21, we get the story, the famous story of Jesus flipping over the tables. Jesus is concerned about not upsetting people. He doesn't flip over the tables, but he overturns them because he's more concerned about God's house being a house of prayer than it being this den where people are robbing and fleecing people. In Matthew 19, Jesus stands before Pilate, and Pilate starts asking him all these questions. And Jesus, he knows that he doesn't have to respond to anything that Pilate is saying. And so he stands and is willing to be silent before Pilate. And I love these things because it shows to us that Jesus, obviously in great contrast to Aaron, he's not so much concerned with people pleasing as much as he's concerned with pleasing God. Now, I want to kind of turn our attention here to what I believe is the most glaring contrast between Aaron and between Jesus. And you see this glaring contrast when you look at both of these stories against the backdrop of the cross. So guys, when you look at the story of Aaron, what you're going to see is a man who built a calf to make people happy. But when you go and you look at Jesus, what you're going to see is a man who bore a cross, not to make people happy, but to make people holy. When you look at Aaron, you see a guy who gave in and gave the crowd what he wanted. When you look at Jesus, you see a man who gave the Father what he required. One of them avoided conflict and the other embraces suffering. One protected his reputation and the other was willing to be reviled. What happens when we look at Aaron is we see a man who shaped gold to keep peace. When we look at Jesus, we see him pour out his blood, not to keep peace, but to purchase peace between God and man. One, Aaron, led people deeper into sin, and the other died, Jesus, to pull people out of sin. So here's a challenge for us, guys. Every single day, you and I, we're going to have to make a choice. It's going to be like one path that we can go or another path that we can go. We are either build calves to keep other people comfort, or we will carry crosses. We will carry crosses to help other people become holy. Here's the deal, guys. You understand this, hopefully, now. If we're going to live these lives, we have to be honest with ourselves and be able to get this truth wrapped around our soul as we go out and try to lead our families, lead workplaces, lead our relationships. Because guys, happiness without holiness is not love. And comfort without courage is not leadership. So for us, I want us, as we try to seek to be the men of God that he's calling us to be able to be the man who says no when everybody else is saying yes, to be the man who's willing to stand up when everybody else is bowing down, to be the man who fears God more than he fears men. Guys, don't build caps, carry crosses.